Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories Season 4. I'm your host, writer and comedian, Emily Winter, and I have super exciting news. We're doing a live version of the podcast. We're doing a live show. I'm going to co-host it with my friend Larry Mancini, and we're going to have so much awesome stuff. It is going to be October 21st. It's a Thursday at 9:30 p.m. at Caveat in New York City. And there's going to be a live stream of the show, so if you're not in New York, you can watch it wherever you are. So I'm so excited about this. You can go to caveat.nyc to get tickets to the live show. The lineup is amazing. We're going to have new stories never before on the pod from Mike Kaplan, who's been on every late night show, and America's Got Talent, and Comedy Central, and Noye Brown West, who was on the podcast and did amazing, but she didn't even get to all of her ghost stories on the pod, so she's going to tell stories we've never heard before. We're going to play some morbid trivia and games, and then there's going to be two comedians who are retelling their stories, and these are two of the podcast favorites, one from Tracy McClendon and one from Pete Stegmeier. So it should be a really good time. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really happy that Caveat in New York City reopened. It's a really, really lovely venue. And I'm glad that they made it through. So anyway, go to caveat.nyc to get tickets to the live show on Thursday, October 21st. And I'm plugging my book. My book is out. My book is out in the world. It's so weird. It's great. I'm very happy and very tired. The book is called One Day Smarter. It's a trivia book. It has a chapter called Morbid Facts for Know-It-All Goths. Please get it wherever you get books. It makes a great holiday gift book for pretty much anyone, because I think there's something for everybody in this book. So, putting out a book is hard, and I'm happy, and I hope people get it. And I hope you're one of those people. Thank you so much for getting one day smarter and listening to this podcast and hopefully coming to the show on October 21st. Today on the podcast, I'm so excited to have storyteller, author, and owner of one of my favorite venues in New York, QED, Cambry Cruz.
Yeah, hello.
Oh my gosh, I'm so lucky to have been performing at QED a couple times since the pandemic, and it's amazing that you guys are back up and running, and it's been so fun.
Yeah, it has been a roller coaster on my end as the owner, but it is great as a performer and as someone who loves the arts to see the arts coming back. So on that end, it's been great. But then there's, you know, flooding and bills and all that stuff, all the fun stuff.
And you are currently recording from a podcast studio that just got flooded. So
yeah.
at least it's not totally ruined.
That's no, it's not. Thankfully I was able to get everything off the floor, electronics wise, and just the rug was ditched, but that was a donated rug anyway, and so
great.
It's fine. Yeah
So I'm so excited to hear your ghost story. You lived in a haunted house?
Well, my mother lived in a haunted house with my stepfather, and I had occasion to stay with them, as an adult child will often do, stay with your parents when you're visiting or circumstances necessitate. And yeah, they had some paranormal activity going on in this house. And this was in the 90s. Okay. So yeah, I think they bought the house in like 90 or 91. And the house was built in 1970. I have not been able to find any history on it, though.
Okay. Where is it?
This is in Everman, Texas, which is a suburb of Fort Worth.
Okay.
And yeah, just a little hick town, nothing special about it, nothing memorable about the town at all, except an amazing donut place and some barbecue that I still think about. Yeah. And then this terrible, terrible fucking house. Honestly, the house was nice. It was nicer than any house I ever grew up in with my mom. I had grown up pretty poor, and we lived in a one-room tin shack with no running water, no electricity, no plumbing. We got a trailer, but then the trailer was repossessed, so we were homeless. And then we lived in a shed again that was like a barn, my horse's barn. So when my mom got this two-story, three-bedroom house, this was like a mansion, you know, stairs inside the home. That's incredible.
Wow.
And yeah. And so it was a really nice house. And I was very happy for her to have been, you know, moving on up. But it was not soon after they got the house that the very first incident happened that was pretty terrorizing for me. I was maybe 18, mm-hmm. 19 years old. And I should say my family is deaf. My mom and dad are both deaf. And so there's this misnomer that living in a deaf household, oh, your house must be really quiet. And it's like, oh, no. It's the opposite. There's like doors slamming and drawers opening and closing, dishes getting knocked around, just chaotic noise constantly. They're not knowing that the TV was blaring or there's a knock at the door and phones ringing and things like that. And so as a child of deaf adults, I would tune out the sounds of just everyday life to the point where I was basically comatose when I was asleep. I could not be woken up by any noise, really. So I used to sleep with speakers, stereo speakers in my bed with the volume turned up to 10, and I would still sleep through it. And it was like Megadeth and Metallica, and my friends, if I ever had friends sleep over, they would be like, ah! Then vaulted awake, like, what the hell, oh my God? And just like terrorized by the sound and me just sawing logs. And they're like, what the, wake up. So I
put the speakers in the bed so that you could just like only hear your noise and not.
No. So that was my alarm clock and I would still sleep through it. Yeah. Oh, and I would still sleep through it. This is just a frame up for you. How dead asleep I could sleep and how hard it was to wake me up. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, I haven't been around deaf people. I don't live with deaf people. I have a normal alarm clock. I'm actually kind of a gentle, you can wake me up pretty easily now. But as a teenager, staying up late at night, I was working nights at the time and also being around deaf people all the time. I slept through earthquakes. So working nights, I had a long weekend and I drove to my mom's house in Everman from, I was living in like just a different Fort Worth suburb. And so it's like 6 a.m. when I get off work and my mom is getting ready for work. So I go with my dog, my husband at the time, now ex-husband, but he was in the Navy and I think he was away on leave on a ship. And so I was like gonna just spend the time with her while he was gone. So I had the dog with me, Alex, a little shepherd mix. And he and I drove to Everman, got ready with my mom, watched her get ready for work in the morning. She wired helicopters, which is such a fucking cool job for a mom to have. Yes. Yeah, so that's worth noting for me, just to be like, yeah, my mom was cool. Very skilled. So she was getting ready for work. So she was going to be gone whatever time she left. Let's say it was 8 a.m. She was going to go. I would go to sleep and then wake up at my normal afternoon hour time when she got home from work and we'd have the weekend together. That was the plan. Her husband, my stepdad, Eddie, was going to be there, but he had to go get a new appliance. They were buying a refrigerator off the classifieds or something like that. So he was also going to be leaving in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I would just be able to sleep there, not worry about anything, nothing expected to happen. So my mom leaves, I go to bed. And a few hours later, something starts to wake me up. And I'm in this one spare bedroom. They had two spare bedrooms. And this one bedroom, had like an antique feather bed in it. And it was just this really comfortable old bed, but something wakes me up. And again, like I could sleep through anything. So the fact that anything would be kind of niggling me to, hey, wake up is an alarm bell. Mm-hmm. So I hear something off in the distance. It's not a dream. Something starts to wake me up. And then I hear a bam on the bedroom door. And I'm still kind of asleep, but it was jolting enough to be like, I'm awake now. I haven't sat up in bed, but my eyes are open. I'm awake in bed. My dog is at the foot of the bed, looking up at the door with his head tilted and his ears perked. And I hear it one more time, wham, on the door. Like a sound that is somebody trying to break the door down, which now that I know I'm okay, I can laugh about and be like, wow, wasn't that crazy? But when you're a young 19-year-old girl alone in a strange home,
oh my God,
and there is a loud bang on your bedroom door while you're vulnerable, it's the first thing is I'm about to be raped and murdered. So I'm not thinking ghosts, you know, that's not the first thing that comes to your mind. It's always, you know, as a woman, I'm about to die from a man.
Yes.
Men are the culprit here. Not
yeah,
the ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. Men are scarier than ghosts.
But the dog doesn't bark or move. He does just does that weird little head tilt. And my voice is gone. Like every bone and fiber in my being is frozen, cold, stiff. Like I couldn't have screamed if I wanted to. But then as I'm starting to realize I'm in danger and what do I do and trying to assess the situation, also I'm out of this very foggy sleep. And I think, well, who could be here? Maybe it's my stepdad. And I very quietly, and I can't imagine how vulnerable I must have sounded, but I'm like, Eddie? And it's just pin drop quiet, no footsteps. And then I'm on the second floor. That's where the bedrooms were. There's no sounds of footsteps and vibrations, which I, as a child of deaf adults, I'm very sensitive to the sounds of vibrations and, you know, any unusual feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pin drop quiet. And the dog, again, is not making a sound, just focused on the door. And that's when I start to get up out of this bed, but this bed is just this old crickety antique bed. So it's like, I know it's going to creak. And I'm like, I don't want, if I'm in danger, them to know I'm in here, but I've already said Eddie's name. And so I get up and I look out the blinds and there's no car in the driveway. Eddie is gone, as he told me he would be. My mom's car is gone. No one's there. And I'm like, okay, so if somebody broke into the house, they would have had to have gotten in somehow, or they're still in the house. And so I just kind of creep around the house and realize, oh no, I'm completely alone. So that's when I'm like, okay, well then what made the noise? Because this is a sound that is, it was so violent and so loud. It was such a heavy metal, hard sound, like a sledgehammer type. I mean, like this isn't a slap or a knock on the door. It was a tremendous crash against this door. And nothing, I like was banging on pipes. I was turning on water pipes, like trying, I love science and math and logic. There's got to be an explanation for this, right? No one could explain it. They all got a big laugh out of it because they weren't about to be raped and murdered and they weren't jolted out of a dead sleep. Oh, isn't Cambry just so stupid and funny? And doesn't she look like a clown? I didn't feel supported in that situation, but I also felt a little crazy too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And my brother is very mentally ill, by the way. At the time he was not anywhere to be, he was actually in a rehab facility and everything. But now fast forward all these 30 years later, he's full blown mentally ill. And I think, oh, you know, this is what he sounds like, trying to explain, like, oh, the FBI is after me. He's always conspiracy theories and he takes apart refrigerators and puts them back together and that kind of stuff. And
oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm like,
and you're like, this is what's happening to me now.
Am I, yeah. Do I have what he has, you know? So,
that's so scary.
It's very scary, but I knew this was real. I knew what had happened was real. The dog heard it. I heard it. I was not crazy, but there was no explanation for it. So a year or so after that, I ended up living there because my husband got out of the Navy. It was during the very beginning of the one of the Iraqi wars, Desert Storm, the first one in the 90s, early 90s. So ended up getting out, discharged, going up to Ohio to find work. And while he was up there trying to find work, I stayed with my mom and stepdad, but I stayed in the other room. Right. Well, and I honestly, it wasn't even, I don't think it was even in my head, like, oh, I don't want to be in that room. Maybe there was something. I think it was honestly, that's where the best furniture setup was, because these are spare rooms, you know, right. And it had room for me and a closet and whatever. And my stepsister had had some of her stuff in there, but she had gotten knocked up like when she was 17. And my stepdad and I definitely did not get along. My mom and dad had had a very horrible breakup. My dad actually had tried to kill my mom, and I had stopped the attack from happening. So it was this very traumatic domestic violence stuff. And when my mom immediately gets hooked up with my stepdad, who doesn't have a job, he's been married like 8 times. Yeah, I was like, Mom, what are you doing? You know, here I am 17 and I got married while I was still in high school. And I'm like, how am I being the responsible one trying to set you free from all your burdens? And then you go get shacked up with this loser, you know? So I had a lot of animosity and a lot of teenage angst stuff, but also some real life trauma going on. And so I brought a lot of that with me when I came to this house. Mm-hmm. And so when I was staying in this other bedroom that my stepsister used to use, she had some like little stuffed animals. They were like freebies from Wendy's. You used to get with a Happy Meal kind of type thing, but whatever Wendy's version of it was. And I was like, oh, these are cute. And so I took them. I don't know. They were in a cardboard box. Obviously didn't care about them. Probably not the right thing for me to do, to take them without asking or whatever. But who, you know, she's knocked up and living across the country with them. You know, she doesn't care about these things, right? So I take them. I don't have a lot of guilty conscience over it, but maybe just a little tingle in there. So my wallet comes up missing. Now I'm like I was literally rolling pennies to save up money to get the fuck out of this house, mm-hmm. go meet up with my husband in Ohio, save money for a down payment for a rental or whatever. So I was working at a donut shop. I was working at the barbecue joint. Like I was doing odd jobs just to make any kind of money, and losing my wallet with the only money I had, it was like 100 and something bucks, which is a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And I was mortified, terrified, whatever, apoplectic, just beside myself with, where is this wallet? I'd never left this room. I stayed in this room the whole time. Like, where could it be? I tore the room apart, I tore the closet apart. I just went through every good, could not find it. I asked, you know, my mom and stepdad, have you been in my room? Do you know where this is? Like, I retraced my steps everywhere, could not find it. Finally, I started asking, like, does somebody else have a key to the house? Do you think Jeremy, my stepbrother, do you think he would have come in? I mean, I don't think he would have stolen from me, but he's the only one with the key to the house, and he maybe could have come over. Like, again, I'm looking for a logical, reasonable explanation. No harm, no foul. I please need my wallet back, you know? It's my life here. And I finally kind of resigned myself that I'm not going to find it, but I'm like, I speak out to the gods, quote unquote gods. I'm like, fine. I am so sorry. I took Amy's stuff. I will put it back. I'm so sorry. I will put it back. If you will just please give me my wallet back. And then like, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
And then I open the closet door, the bedroom closet door, and my wallet is sitting propped up on boxes in the closet, like on display.
Oh,
I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Just like, oh my God.
Oh, it's
like,
my God.
And then this just relief.
Amy.
Huh?
This ghost loves Amy.
My mom even said that. I was texting with my mom trying to remember, hey, whatever happened, did anybody else experience these things? Can you tell me, do you have any memories? Oh, that ghost loved you and Amy. And I said, loved me is not the way I would describe it. love. But, you know, my mom and I, our version of love is a little skewed given our relationship with my dad, but still, love is not the definition I would use.
Oh,
yeah, but yeah, that motherfucker put the wallet back.
So but did you put the stuffed animals back?
No, fuck no. I kept them. I kept them for years. What's he going to do about it? Take my wallet again? No, I did. I kept them.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
That's, talk about tempting the fates and the gods. I don't know why I kept them still after that, after I made this promise. Again, years pass, nothing happens. Now, I will say I'm not the only one to have had experiences in this place. Mine, I feel, were negative because, again, I brought so much anger and animosity into that house. I know my stepdad did not like me because I clearly had no respect for him. Mm-hmm. I still don't have any respect for him, frankly, but at least I have some, at least some tolerance and maturity to understand people are complicated. He's a Vietnam vet. He's got a head injury. So he's got anger and issues and other, you know, he's got his own traumas and stuff. And I'm such much more empathetic about him, but I'm also like, get a fucking job, loser. The gist of it is that Eddie and I had a very negative headbutting animosity, you know, a relationship that did not jibe well. And if you're a ghost who is loyal to the homeowner, I guess, I don't know what ghosts, I don't even necessarily believe in ghosts. I think that our brains are so underdeveloped and there is energy in this universe that has to be manifested in some way. And our brains interpret it in a way that we can understand. I don't know. Or maybe there's ghosts. But,
so do you think, like, but you know that that stuff happened.
It happened. And it didn't just happen to me. My mom, who's deaf, very much relies on the feelings of vibrations. Like, to get her attention, I bang on a table, smack on a table, stomp on the floor. When we were living in the trailer, to sneak out of the house, we would like tiptoe because you didn't want to shake the trailer. And then you'd shut the front door and be like, "Bye, mom, bye, dad, I'm leaving." So, hey, I told you I was leaving. So she would feel footsteps coming up the stairs. And then one boot hit the floor, another boot hit the floor, and then she would look up and her husband wouldn't be there. So she would assume, oh, it's Eddie coming up the stairs, taking off his boots and getting into bed. But then the getting into the bed part just never happened. And then she'd be like, oh, okay. She wasn't bothered by it. Not bothered by it at all. Wow. And then their radio, because my mom is deaf, she never heard it, but their radio would just go off at random times, just blaring, always Fleetwood Mac or the Eagles, which are her favorites. And I'm like, ghost, she doesn't fucking hear you. Try as you want. Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles are her favorites?
Yeah.
So this is maybe just a very ignorant question, but how was that her favorite?
Like, well, she can hear with hearing aids when she was younger, especially now, not so much, but without her hearing aids in, deaf. And so this radio would go off like 3 a.m. and she's asleep. Like no one else is hearing it. Yeah. Sometimes my stepdad would hear it and he'd be like, and I'm like, mom, if you have an alarm on your stereo, you know, you can reprogram that. She goes, no, it's not the alarm. It's just, it's random anytime. So like sometimes she would hear when she had her hearing aids in and stuff, but yeah, random times. And that's kind of, I don't know, just generic, banal kind of ways of, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of like, oh, okay, you're just a prankster kind of ghost. That's a little minor annoyance.
Right, right.
It doesn't affect me in a negative, personal, visceral way. You know, that kind of stuff, it would just be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. But the third and final thing that ever happened there, I had a witness to it, thankfully. but not so thankfully in some ways, my ex-boyfriend, Dan, he and I were staying there. And I told him, hey, look, I told him about my experiences in the house. And I said, but as long as we stay in that other bedroom, the one that I lived in, you know, nothing ever really happened there. I didn't tell him about the wallet. But nothing really ever happened in that room, you know, and as long as we're together, it's not a big deal. Well, the air conditioner breaks and that room doesn't have a ceiling fan. And we're talking Texas in August. You're not sleeping if you don't have an air conditioner or at least a ceiling fan. But that other room has a ceiling fan. But again, we're like, you know what? Let's just stay together. We'll go into the room together. We're going to sleep together. It's not a big deal. As long as we're together, it's okay. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. And I felt fine about it. Nothing had happened there in years and years. His mom was like the mom from Carrie. You know, they're all going to laugh at you. You know, like your dirty pillows, crazy evangelical.
Religious. Yeah.
Yeah. She tried to get my dad to go to one of those faith healers to touch him, to heal his deafness and stuff like that.
Oh,
and yeah, she was extreme. So my ex-boyfriend, I think I had some of that in him, some influence in him. So when I told him about this, I think it did kind of scare him a little bit, and it scared me. So I don't blame him, you know. But I'm like, look, as long as we're together, it's cool. So we're sleeping in this bed or talking. It's like 2-3 in the morning, whatever, late at night. We were very much night owls, staying up all night, smoking and talking. And we're about to like turn in, but he needs to go to the bathroom before. So he goes, okay, I'm going to just go to the bathroom and then I'll be right back kind of thing. It wasn't even so like a statement like that, just like, I'm ready to go to bed. Good night. Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. And so he gets up and goes to the bathroom and I turn over on my side and I pull the covers over my shoulder. Just as I'm pulling the covers over my shoulder, the whole right side of the bed goes, it's this antique feather bed, and you could just feel the whole side of the bed like depress, like somebody's sitting on the bed. But I know Dan is not in there, and I was like guttural. This time I at least had a voice. I went, Dan. I was like, ah! And Dan, still in the bathroom, flies in, pants still are not even fully up because he heard it too. And he's like, is she not really going to let me come to the bathroom by myself? Is she that scared? And then he heard the bed, but he had heard the bed thinking I was getting up, but he didn't realize that's what was happening. So he comes running in because he heard the abject terror in my voice. Yeah. He scoops me up out of bed and flies with me down the stairs, carrying me down the stairs. And
pretty romantic.
We were crying and screaming and tear, and he was convinced that the devil or some sort of negative devilish type of spirit was trying to possess me, which really not a thing you want to tell someone. I don't know. It just
that would freak me out.
Yeah. Or maybe it's just a weird explanation, inexplicable paranormal thing, but I don't know. It just, that freaked me out even more. And he and I are like crying. And now it's like 5 a.m. after a couple of hours of just like our adrenaline, or like, we're not going to bed, right? And then we hear some footsteps coming down the stairs, and he and I were both like, and it was just my stepdad being like, is something going on? And we're like, yeah, there's something in my bed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that, and after that, I was like, I'm never staying in that house again. I don't care what room it is. When you sell that house, I'll come visit you again, but I am never staying in that house. And I never went back. I never went back, and I will never go back. They sold it not too long after that though.
Oh my God. So wait, you said your mom had experiences. Did Eddie also?
You know, I don't think so. He's also kind of deaf. My grandmother did. She said that also their cat, every now and then their cat would just like follow something up the stairs kind of thing. And my grandmother said she had seen a guy leave the bathroom wearing jeans and no shirt and go into my mom and stepdad's bedroom. My grandmother has since passed, and I don't remember. She never told me about that. My mom reminded me of that. I'm like, that's kind of wild, but seeing something.
Did your stepdad think that you guys were all crazy?
No, he thought it was funny because I think, again, it's just like there, when you can't explain something, you're looking for reasons for something to, like, why did this happen? And so he was telling the neighbor, mostly out of a, can you believe this shit? My dumb stepdaughter thinks, and the neighbor was like, oh, you're the people who used to live here before. The woman said she felt and heard things all the time. And she started drinking pretty heavily, apparently.
Oh my
God. And then, yeah. And since then, they've sold it. I don't know who bought it, but there was a temptation in me to call them and be like, but I think they've sold it a couple of times. But I looked, and the house was built in 1970. I'm sure. I mean, look, the whole earth is a burial ground. So something's on buried underneath me right now. But QED used to be a funeral home.
That is something I love so much. We're currently podcasting from a place where dead bodies used to be stored.
Well, if you ask the landlord, no dead bodies were in here. None.
It's a funeral home. How are no dead bodies in there?
Yeah. When he was showing me the space, I was like, hey, didn't this used to be a funeral home? He goes, no dead bodies were in. No dead bodies. No. And I said, it was a funeral home. There were dead bodies all over. And also in QED, there's a curtain, a room dividing curtain. Mm-hmm. That track that I used to install the curtain is where the accordion, you know, those plastic accordion room divider things, that's where it used to be. And when they renovated it, he turned the funeral home from one giant company into three units. So it's QED, the Gymazing, and the Daily Spa.
Okay.
So he compartmentalized it into three different units. But so when they renovated, they pushed that accordion wall back into a wall and they just plastered over it. So QED's tech booth and storage closet are separated, and the wall in between has actually got an accordion wall in there. That accordion wall is the room divider so that families could have privacy when they're viewing the body. I mean, like, yeah, there were dead bodies in here.
Oh my God.
And just nothing but good vibes here. Just great vibes. But I'm like, you know what? Funerals and church, that's theater. And theater, what is, you know, it's all theater.
Yeah, right. It's all to make you, I mean, the trauma has gone. Although I would like maybe not want to live in an apartment that used to be a morgue or something, you know? Yeah.
It's never bothered me. That house had the most generic, it's Brady's looking house. I mean, there's nothing special about it. If you would have told me of all the places I've lived, my apartment here in New York City, a fireman was killed there in the early 90s or late 90s during a fire. The cabin that I own upstate, it's a one room little cabin. The man who built it in 1901, he tried to kill himself in the late 20s and then successfully killed himself in 1933. Nothing but good vibes there. In the cabin, yeah. Wow. If you had told me of all these places,
right,
that my mom's house is the one that's haunted, and I've got a funeral home, a murder, or a fiery death, a suicide, I'd like, what? No, that these are the places that should be haunted. So I don't even think that it's, like I said, I don't know that it's ghosts per se. There's some sort of energy. It's a force field of energy there that our brains can't wrap it around, and it manifests itself. And I brought so much negative energy into that home that I'm sure I compounded it, and it had to express in some way. Right. And with me, it expressed negatively. And with everybody else, it didn't, because they didn't hate my stepdad so much.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, ghost is a placeholder word the way God is a placeholder word.
Right.
Like, it would be easy if it was all like Casper and they were all just dead people, but Yeah, there's something going on that we don't know about, and we call it ghosts. And yeah, it is scary and terrifying and sometimes funny. And
Yeah. Like, I feel like I would react differently now, especially because I don't hate my stepdad so much. And I also have heard some of your podcast recordings here with other people telling their stories. I'm like, oh, these things manifest very similarly for a lot of different people. But that's really all it boils down to. Nobody here is getting possessed. Although I guess people do believe in possession and exorcism and stuff. So
honestly, if any of my listeners have been possessed and want to talk about it, I am here for it. But
my ex-boyfriend was convinced. I'm so glad that I'm not in that relationship and also did not get possessed.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I definitely feel like it's always, or often it's people that are like sort of skeptical or just blah on ghosts, and then they have this experience and they're like looking for a reasonable solution, and then
right, yeah, you there. Want to find logic. Yeah. And then again, with, you know, the mental illness, and my brother manifests, and you know, he hears things and hallucinates, and he didn't have issues in the house.
Maybe the spirits were like, he's good, he's got his own demons, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Leave that one alone. He's busy. Yeah. But my cabin, this is extra. You could decide to use it or not. But at the cabin, I do feel like there were not forces isn't right, ghosts isn't right, but the universe, or the man, Fred Blattner was his name. Friedrich was his Swiss German immigrant original name, and then he Americanized it and went by Fred. I do feel like there was something where he was like, I need you to know about me and my house and my family. Like I just kept getting weird little signs and things coming up, not like a door slamming or paranormal stuff, but coincidences of things about the house that ultimately ended up manifesting when I was scrolling eBay at like 2 a.m. and there was a postcard photo back in the 20s. Picture postcards were a big deal, 1900s to 1930. You didn't have email and phones weren't prevalent and things. So people would send postcards to be like, hey, I arrived at my destination, or, you know, we're leaving tomorrow, we'll see you when we get there, kind of thing. And so picture postcards were a thing. And I found a picture postcard of my house, this rock house that Fred Blattner built, on eBay for sale. Yeah.
Wild. That is
very wild.
Coincidence.
And this was the coincidence after multiple coincidences of like running into a woman who's like, I think my grandpa built this. And she was like visiting from like Atlanta or something. And just all these really random things. And so I was like, okay, I need to investigate. And so once I found Fred Blattner and his history, and then I found out he had killed himself there, or tried to kill himself and then successfully did. And then I found his present day family, some of whom still live in the area, but his great granddaughter, who's now like 80 and lives in Florida, she came up to visit, and I gave her a tour of the house. And I told her about how her great grandpa had passed, and some things about the house. And I don't know, there was just a lot of joy and family and togetherness and all that. And since then I have no coincidences anymore, nothing. I think he was just like, I need you to know my story. And then once I got to know his story, and now anytime I hear anything weird, but it's a cabin in the woods. And what's remarkable about this house and why I think this picture postcard was made was because the house was built on these enormous boulders, mm-hmm. and the boulders form a basement, a natural cavern. So you walk into the basement door opens up into a cavern, and then there's a trap door that leads upstairs into the house part. So it's a really neat little bungalow.
That's so cool.
It's very cool. And so when I hear things, it's usually like, well, that's a raccoon, or a porcupine or a bear or a fox. There's always a wild animal. I just saw a porcupine 2 days ago.
Oh, cool.
But then every now and then there's something like a Scattergories timer, you know, the tick, 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 started ticking inside the box across the room.
Really?
Yeah. But again, science, logic, I'm like, well, the batteries, the moisture expanded and it set it off. If there are not batteries in this thing, then I'm burning the house down.
Yeah.
But I took the batteries out, you know, I took them out. It's been fine. But little things like that, that would happen. And now that I know about Fred, I'm like, oh, Fred, he's just keeping in time on his apple because he used to use it as a cider mill during Prohibition. And I was like, oh, Fred's just brewing some apples. Fred's in town making a cider. Hey, Fred. Yeah.
Fred seems to be, if he's there, he seems to be pretty cool. Yeah.
He's very cool. He was very creative, extremely innovative. He had a leather shop in Brooklyn. He built this incredible house, just ingenious and talented. And he suffered from depression and being alone and isolated in the woods. Fuck, I get melancholy up there and I've got the internet and Netflix and stuff.
Wow. Wow. I love that. That's very sweet.
Yeah. I like Fred. I like his house. I like his family.
It's so cute that like you ended up meeting them and like,
his great granddaughter, who's like 80. She's so cute. She was like, she was tromping through the house and I was showing her like, there's an old sink that he used. There's still a few little elements like there. He's a Swiss German immigrant and there's a stained glass homage to a Swiss flag built inside the house. And I showed her that, a couple of little things. And the next day they came back and brought Fred Blattner's great, 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 great granddaughter, who was like a teenager and was like not interested. And so, but I trekked her all through and I made her, and by the end of it, she was like, this is pretty neat. I was like, yes, isn't it? Like, I got her so excited about this really ancient thing for her that is just architecture and that. But at the end of it, Aunt Ree, the woman who lives in Florida, the 80-year-old, she goes, this is the best vacation I have ever had. I could not sleep at all last night.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Isn't it cute? I know.
Oh my God. Fred, you and Fred, man, you did that. That's
I know. Beautiful. I go visit his family at the cemetery. He was cremated, but the rest of his family is buried there. So I go and talk to him. Yeah.
That's really sweet. Do you have feelings on cremation versus bury?
No, I think burial is a waste of green resources. I think it's bad for the environment, formaldehyde, and just what a waste of all of that. I do understand the ritual need for it. Mm-hmm. But like my dad was cremated and he believes in reincarnation. And he wanted his ashes buried where I planted a pecan tree. So like, if there is anything about going back to the earth, that maybe he could help nourish this tree and we'll figure that out. But I think green burial, where you're wrapped in burlap and you're able to really decompose with the earth, I think that's the real way to go, because that's what you're meant to do. I think we are meant to decompose and we're supposed to help, you know, feed off the earth is supposed to feed off us and us off the earth. It's supposed to be a cycle of life. I would love to get, you know, dissolved with some worms and stuff.
That's great. I've never asked a guest that before. I was just thinking about it yesterday because one of my guests, she visits her grandma's grave because she has her grandma's spirit attached to her. And so I was like, I personally am like, I don't care, burn me up, send me out, do whatever you gotta do. But don't put me in a box. Seems like a waste of wood at least and land.
All right. But I do think though, it does make me feel like, oh, I don't know where Fred is. You know, he was cremated and I don't know where he is. So there is a little bit of like, oh, well then how do people pay up? But then I'm like, but his house is here.
True.
So.
Well, I guess I got to get a house.
Build a house from scratch.
Cambry, this has been so awesome.
Hey, thanks. I never talk about this. I know many of your guests have said the same thing, and it's because you do sound crazy. And so I appreciate having a platform for it.
Oh my God. I love this episode so much. And I'm like super excited to put it out. It's really good. So please tell the listeners whatever you would like to plug, where they can find you on the internet, everything about QED, anything else you want to say.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I'm the New York Times bestseller of Burn Down the Ground, a memoir. So if you want to hear more about deaf people and murder, that's my book. Then QED is in Astoria. That is QEDAstoria.com. We've got Al Franken coming this week and a bunch of other neat things that I can't really talk about. But we also have a lot of open mics and a lot of talented people from all ends of the spectrum as far as experience goes. And then I'm running for town council up where Fred Blattner used to live. Yeah, they nominated me to run for town council. There's like 400 registered Democrats. I have no chance of winning, but I figure you can't win if you don't run.
Congratulations. That's so cool.
So vote for me this November.
That is so awesome. Where can people find you on social media?
At Cambry, K-A-M-B-R-I. Yeah.
Great. That is awesome. Cambry, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Please follow our incredible guest on social media. Check me out at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter. And grab a copy of One Day Smarter, Hilarious Random Information to Uplift and Inspire, my new trivia book, wherever you get your books. Have a great week.